Heavenly Father, we do pray that this morning you will fill our minds and our hearts with the wonderful goodness of what you have done for us in Jesus, and particularly what you have promised for us as we look forward to his return. May this be the thing that drives us forward, that fills us with joy, and that causes us to live godly lives for you as we wait for that day. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. I wonder if you could have a think for a moment about what it would look like for you to live a life that is filled with hope. A life that is filled with hope. You know, what kind of life would that be? What would it be like? What would it feel like? It sounds great, doesn't it? A life filled with hope. I don't know what your experiences or your thoughts are of hope, but doesn't that sound good? I'm sure that among us we'll probably have a range of different ideas when it comes to hope. Maybe you feel that hope is something that's really for children and daydreamers. You know, kids have a great capacity, don't they, to be excited about something good. You know, kind of like Christmas and birthdays. I mean, I still remember when I was a kid and my kids now, that kind of, you know, only one sleep to go until my birthday kind of feeling. And that excitement makes a real difference to the present, doesn't it? But maybe as you get older, maybe you find yourself looking forward more to the sleep than to the thing that comes after it. I don't know, I think I do. But that's living with hope. Or you think of daydreamers, people who seem to live with their head in the clouds, always dreaming about the possibilities of some far-off and perhaps really unlikely future, you know, like winning Powerball and what kind of life that could be, but seemingly oblivious to the realities of actually living life now. And you think, well, that might be all well and good for them, but you can't live like that. Or maybe you've been disappointed too many times by hope, and so you've given up on hope. Or you're just so overwhelmed by the weight of life now that you find it hard to see any kind of light at the end of the tunnel. So you feel a bit hopeless, despairing even. Whatever your personal experience or ideas of hope, I hope that you can at least imagine the potential goodness of a life that is genuinely filled with hope, even if you're not really sure what that would look like or how to get it. So as I said, we are looking today at this three-week series of faith, hope and love, and today we're looking at hope. But as we talk about hope today, I want to be clear that we're not just talking about some kind of emotional pick-me-up, you know, an emotional kind of shot in the arm of how to be a more hopeful person. We're talking specifically about Christian hope. You know, what is that? And how can we grow in that? And I've got a hunch that of these three, faith, hope and love, this is probably the one that we're less clear about. And I think that for many Christians, this is a significant reason for why the Christian life can seem dry and joyless. You're dry and joyless. Why, for me, the Christian life can feel like just trying to drag yourself out of bed with nothing really to look forward to. We know it's good in theory, but we don't really feel it. Or on the other hand, why the Christian life feels like a conflict between what we know we should be excited about and what we actually are excited about. And I believe that if we get this hope right, it has the real potential to make a significant difference in this area. If we who trust in Jesus have an amazing hope, if only we would see it. And if you're here today and you don't yet trust Jesus, then I hope that today you might begin to discover a hope that is better and more real than anything else that you might hope or even wish for. Well, like with each of these topics that we're looking at, we need to make sure that we actually understand what it is that we're talking about. You get a definition right. Because we use the word hope in a bunch of different ways, don't we? And Melvin's kind of already got us thinking in that direction helpfully. And I've already used the word hope in a few different ways myself just now. But so what is hope? And specifically, what is Christian hope? Let me start by saying what it's not, to kind of clear the ground a little bit. Firstly, Christian hope is not wishful thinking. You know, wishful thinking. Because we do use the word hope that way sometimes, don't we? You know, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope I pass my exams. I hope I've saved enough money for retirement. That kind of hope is about what we would like to happen, but it might not. It might be quite unlikely, but we are still hopeful about it. And so that leads us kind of to the second thing that hope is not. Hope is not just positive thinking. Hope is not about a state of mind where I choose to be hopeful rather than being negative or pessimistic. You know, despite reality, whatever that is, I'm choosing to be hopeful, maybe in the face of reality even. We do use the word hope in those kinds of ways, wishful thinking, positive thinking, but it's not really how the Bible describes Christian hope. So let me try and start with a simple definition of what hope is, the way the Bible describes it. I've got it down to four words. Hopefully this is helpful. So hope is looking forward to something. Hope is looking forward to something. Not a pipe dream, not a wish. Something real, something good. I don't have it yet, but it's real, it will happen, and I'm looking forward to it. And as I look forward to it, it has a positive impact on me now. It makes a big difference for me now. Hope is looking forward to something. So let me just try and unpack that a bit as we go along. Now, the first point I want to make, sort of coming out of that definition, is that hope is a thing. Hope is a thing. And that is, hope is not just a feeling or an attitude in me. Most of the time when the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about the thing that I'm looking forward to. Hope is looking forward to something. And so the most important place to start when it comes to thinking about our hope is to look at the thing that my hope is in. Let me try and give an example of what I mean, that hope is a thing. So when I'm mowing the lawn, right, it seems to have to happen a lot lately with this heat. In fact, it reminds me I need to mow it soon, getting long. But when I'm mowing the lawn and it's a hot day and I'm sweating and tired and thirsty, but I keep going. And the reason I keep going is because there's one thing that I know, and that is I know that when I'm done, there's an ice cold drink in the fridge waiting for me when I'm done. And when I'm done, I'm gonna sit in the shade in my nice little outdoor lounge, and I'm gonna enjoy that drink, and it'll taste all the better because I've finished mowing. See, in that situation, that drink is my hope while I'm mowing. It's the thing that I'm looking forward to. Or to give another example, if you're running a marathon, your hope might just be the finish line and the sense of achievement that you might have when you get there. Hope is the thing that we look forward to. So what is the thing for Christian hope, if we trust Jesus? What is that thing that we hope for? Because hope is really only as good as the thing that we're hoping for. It needs to be something good, and it needs to be something real. There's no point in having a fanciful hope. Well, the Bible describes that hope that we put our hope in different ways, but it's all really pointing to the same thing, that is the return of Jesus and everything that goes with that when he returns. And so let me give you some examples from the Bible. This is from Titus chapter 2 verse 13. It says, "We wait for the blessed hope." What is that? "The glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ." So the thing that we hope for is the return of Jesus. Other passages talk about our hope in terms of the good things that will happen when Jesus returns. So in Acts chapter 23, it says, "I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When Jesus returns, he will raise the dead, literally, and begin a perfect eternal life for all who trust him. That's the thing that Christian hope is in. And so hope must begin by knowing that. So let's kind of just dwell on this a little bit more and try and fill out the picture of what that will be like when Jesus returns. It will be a new creation, physical and real, freed from decay, and with only the beauty and goodness that we just get glimpses of now in the creation around us. A world that is fit for God Himself to live in. And we ourselves will have new bodies, freed from sickness, disease, and death, and pain. A body that cannot die. A body that is fit for eternity. A body that is fit to live with God. Like a throne is fit for a king, our bodies will be fit to stand in the presence of the eternal living God, in the glory of His presence. And we will stand in His presence. There will be nothing separating us from God. We will see Him with our eyes. We will hear Him with our ears. We will see Him smile upon us. And we will want to praise Him with every breath we take. And we will enjoy the goodness of living perfectly with our Creator in a perfect creation. And living perfectly with each other. There will be no pain of broken relationships. No awkwardness from harsh words that can't be taken back. No racism, no divisions, no wars. Perfect peace. To use the Bible's own words that I'm sure we're familiar with, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. The suffering of this present world will be a thing of the past, and the future will sparkle with the untainted goodness of what that will be like. And we will leap for joy, the Bible says, like little calves skipping out of their stalls. And as the healing glow of the risen Lord Jesus spreads across the world like an eternal sunrise, bringing healing and new life to everything it touches. Now, I have to confess at this point, I really feel like I'm struggling for words. I feel entirely inadequate to describe this picture of the hope that we have, that we look forward to in Jesus. But I guess that's not surprising, because the Bible itself says it's too good for words. The Bible has to use metaphors and picture language to even try and come close to the goodness of our hope. But are you starting to get a taste of it? The hope that we have is good. And it's also certain. Now, we tend to think, don't we, that hope has this kind of uncertainty about it. And we say things like, oh, I hope that this and that will happen. But not this hope. Our hope is certain because Jesus rose from the dead to secure it. That's what we read in our Bible reading from 1 Peter 1 just now. Let me read again from verse 3, where we started the reading. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Christian hope is a certain hope because it's looking forward to a certain future that Jesus secured by rising from the dead, by defeating death. Now, there are plenty of good things in life, but none of them are eternal. Every other hope will perish, spoil, or fade. And in the end, death is the ultimate killer of hope. It's the big full stop that brings an end to all other hope. And you know, people who are confronted with death know this all too well. But our hope is in the resurrection of the dead. Jesus rose from the dead to secure a hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's why we can have a certain hope. This is the foundation of Christian hope. You can't just conjure up hope by positive thinking or by being a hopeful person. It must begin by actually having something worth hoping for, something good and secure. And if you trust Jesus, you have this hope. You have this hope. So, if we have this hope, how then can we grow in hope? How can we grow in hope? Let's come back to our four-word definition. Hope is looking forward to something. So we grow in hope by just looking forward to that something more. It's no good having something to look forward to, but spending most of our time ignoring it, or being distracted by other things. Verse 13 of the passage in 1 Peter that we read tells us to fix our eyes fully on what we are hoping for. Have a look at verse 13. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, growing in hope is about fixing our eyes all the more on the hope that we have. And a big part of how we do this is by making sure that we don't settle for some other hope that will take our eyes off that hope. You know, as far as I can tell, the Bible never actually commands us to hope. It doesn't command us to hope. But what it does do is it commands us to put our hope in the right thing and not to put our hope in the wrong thing. So 1 Timothy 6 that we looked at last year says this exact thing about putting our hope in wealth instead of in God. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's very easy for wealth to become the thing that we hope in, and becomes the thing that draws our hope away from our hope in Jesus, so that we let that become the thing that promises a future that we look forward to, and the thing that motivates us in the present as we look forward to it. And, you know, you could say the same about other things, even good things that can become alternative hopes. You know, I put my hope in achievement. Yeah, this thing that I'm striving for, that's what keeps me going. Or I put my hope in family or in friends, in relationships. This is what my hope is in. Or just in excitement and play and doing those things that I want to do. This is what I'm looking forward to. Or in health. As long as I've got my health, it's okay. Those are all good things. In fact, those are things that God gives to us. And they're part of the future that God has promised. But they cannot be the thing that fills our hearts and minds with hope, because they will draw our focus away from Jesus. And they will leave us settling for a second best and second rate hope. And also, those hopes are not secure. You know, I've watched friends whose hopes for the future crumbled. I remember a friend who had a job prospect that he was so looking forward to, and it seemed so good and it seemed so likely, but it just kind of slipped out of reach and didn't happen. And just like that, his hope vanished. Or another friend who had a relationship that had such promise for the future until it didn't. It fell to pieces, and so did she. For both of them, it's like they were a ship at sea that had been cut loose from its anchor in a storm. What they thought would hold them fast and secure was gone, and now the waves are just tossing them everywhere. But hope in Jesus is secure. It's a secure anchor, and nothing can cut us loose from that. The book of Hebrews puts it great. It says this: we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. But, you know, a lot of the time, I think, and I include myself in this, I think we forget that we have this anchor. We're so busy dropping all kinds of other anchors that we think will hold us securely, but that just can't take the weight. And we forget that we have this anchor, firm and secure. Growing in hope will mean fixing our eyes on that anchor and not letting other hopes draw our attention away. And I think this is probably where many of us are missing out on the goodness of what hope has to offer, on the present goodness of that future hope that we have in Jesus. The whole idea of hope is that it's meant to make a difference for me now, in the present. But we're so busy finding our hope in other things that we're robbing ourselves of the goodness that hope in Jesus offers now. Now, you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? You believe that he will return and raise the dead and bring a new creation? Does your heart know that? Or is your heart too busy loving other things? Are you fixing your hope and your desire on other things so that you can barely see the goodness of our true hope? And it barely has an impact on you now. This is what Jesus meant when he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you want to find joy in Jesus? Then look to that treasure so that your heart longs for it. And this brings us to the fruit of hope. The fruit of hope. And I'm just going to focus on two things. There are many, I think, that the Bible speaks of, but I'm just going to focus on two. The two things that I think are most commonly mentioned as the fruit of hope are joy and perseverance. Joy and perseverance. The passage that we read from 1 Peter about hope mentions joy twice. And people often ask why Christians can be so full of joy, even in hard times. The answer is hope. If you have a good and certain hope, and your heart sees that and longs for it, how can that not affect you? How can that not help you? Even in the ups and downs and the very real difficulties of life, that is secure. And that joy goes hand in hand with perseverance. When life is hard, hope is looking forward to the destination. That's what keeps you going. So, like for the marathon runner, as I said, it's the finish line. For the person going through a busy week at work, it's the weekend. For the Christian facing hardship or persecution, it's knowing that I will be vindicated by the God of the universe, whatever happens. For the Christian facing sickness and death, it's knowing that I'll be raised to eternal life, whatever happens. For the Christian facing temptation to sin, it's knowing that I am going to be made like Jesus, and so I want to live like him now. It's hard to keep going when you have no concept of the end, isn't it? Hope is seeing the end, so that it does keep me going, and that it does fill me with joy. And I just want to say one last thing before we finish, and it really should go back under the heading of growing in hope, but I thought it would be good to finish with, and that is that we should pray to grow in hope. You know, hope is a spiritual work of God in us, and we want to grow spiritually. We should ask God to be doing it in us. And there's a great prayer for hope in Ephesians chapter 1 that the Apostle Paul prays. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened so that you know the hope that you have in Jesus, so that you'll see your hope more clearly. That's what we should pray for ourselves and for each other about hope. And this is something that we've been trying to do generally in our Bible studies, in our growth groups over the past year or so with regard to faith, hope and love. We've been trying to pray specifically about particular things with regard to faith, hope and love. And so when it comes to hope, when we bring our concerns to God, specific things that are going on in your life and that you're concerned for, pray that God will open your eyes to see the hope that we have in Jesus in this situation. Like when I'm anxious about how something is going in my life, how work is going or something in family, when I'm anxious about that. Pray that I will see that hope and that will make a difference in this situation. When I'm facing pressure or persecution about my faith, pray that I will see that hope. When I'm struggling with temptation, pray that I will see that hope. And whatever else is going on, pray that God will open our eyes to see the hope that we have in Jesus more clearly. That we will know the goodness of it. That we will trust the certainty of it. And that it will give us the joy and the perseverance and the comfort and the holiness that it should. Let's pray that now, huh? Heavenly Father, do open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope that we have in Jesus. Father, help us to identify those things in our lives that are distracting our eyes away from that hope, where we are putting our hope in other things. Help us to know that this hope that we have is so much better and so much more secure. And we pray, Father, that as we look to this hope, you will give us the joy of looking forward to that wonderful restoration and new creation when Jesus returns, and that you'll give us the perseverance as we work through the difficulties of this life now and as we look towards that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.